Tonight, our speaker, Brother Mel Futrell from the Shade Mountains Church of Christ, from Birmingham, Alabama, will be speaking for us. And the title of it is Taking God at His Word. Taking God at His Word. Isaiah chapter 55, and verse 11, we'll be launching from. If you would, please give attention to our speaker tonight, Brother Mel Futrell.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. Greetings from the Shades Mountain Church of Christ here in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm Brother Mel, as already mentioned, and I am delighted and honored to be back with you on this Thursday evening. Again, as just noted by Brother Tommy, our theme for the hour is Taking God at His Word. I like that title, Taking God at His Word. I hope you like it, and I hope you'll follow along with open minds and open Bibles. Momentarily, I'll be quoting from the King James Version. I invite you to follow along in your Bible. And if you have any questions about what has been said tonight or what will be said tonight, that you contact Brother Tommy, and we would love to speak with you and to invite you at your earliest opportunity to visit the assemblies of the Church of Christ in your area. Again, our text for the hour, for the half hour anyway, is Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Please turn there in your Bibles. Let's begin. Here we go now, brethren and friends. Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Here's what God, through the prophet Isaiah, said in the long ago. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Again, Isaiah 55 and verse 11. I hope you'll circle that, underline that, highlight that, mark that verse in your Bible where your eye will be drawn to that, even if you're just thumbing through your copy of the Scriptures at some later date. Again, circle it, underline it, highlight it, mark it in your Bible. What a wonderful verse that is. We could spend the whole hour on that one verse alone, but it's our beginning point. And let me tell you what that verse tells me. It tells me, brethren and friends, that God's word is enough. I want to repeat that. God's word is enough, and therefore, I ought to take God at His word. God's word is enough, and I and you and we ought to take God at His word. There is a parallel in my judgment to that verse in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. There the Hebrew writer said in the long ago, again from the King James Version, for the word of God is quick and powerful. Today we would say living and powerful. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, God's word is enough. And therefore, you and I ought to take God at His word. Isaiah 55, 11, Hebrews 4 and verse 12, and there are many other verses that we could draw on by way of introduction, but that will suffice tonight. I want to say it again. I'm going to say it repeatedly throughout this evening. God's word is enough, and therefore, we ought to take God at His word. Question, what happens when we take God at His word? There's our question of the hour. What happens when we take God at His word? I want to respond to that from the Word of God tonight. And again, I hope you've got your Bible open. I know your mind is open. I hope you've got a ready pen or pencil and a notepad. Jot down what I deliver tonight, not because I'm doing the preaching this evening, but because what I preach is from the very Word of God. And again, we're taking God at His word. So our question of the hour, what happens when you and I take God at His word? And our first response, point number one tonight, is we will read it. We will read it. We will read the word of God. The word of God, in fact, is loaded with exhortations and admonitions and encouraging words to read God's word. And there are so many other ways that we could describe that, but I hope that will be sufficient for the present time. Won't you think with me, better yet, turn with me to Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Just part of that verse, Isaiah 34 and verse 16. Here's what God through Isaiah said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. One more time, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. We would add to that Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The children of Israel were gathered together at the early morning hour until the noon before the water gate. And there, from a raised wooden platform, Ezra and others read from the very word of God. So they read in the book, where Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, one more time, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. If you and I claim to take God at his word, then at bare minimum, brethren, at bare minimum, my friend, we ought to read it. We ought to act upon that claim to take God at his word and then move to, if you will, the next step, and that is to read God's word. Over in the New Testament, we have a number of verses that go right along with the two that we've already offered from the Old Testament. May I direct you to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16. And there Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, said, and again, remember, he's writing the church in Colossae, and in the closing chapter of that letter to those brethren from 2,000 years ago, mind you, he says, watch it now. When this epistle, we would say today, when this letter is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. The verse goes on from there, but that is enough to make our point. When this epistle, when this letter is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Those brethren in that day, 2,000 years ago, did not enjoy the luxury that we do today. How many copies of the Word of God do you have? Do you own? How many do you have in your home? Do you have one in your pocket, in your purse? Do you have one in your automobile or automobiles? How many copies of the Word of God can you readily lay your hand upon? These brethren were dependent upon someone reading one copy of God's Word and this letter, the letter to the church at Colossae, before them, no doubt on the Lord's Day Assembly. When this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. I can't help but believe, brethren and friends, that they would have been excited about that reading from the Word of God. When you and I today take God at his word, when we make that claim, then we better act upon that, and we better read God's word. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul, the older preacher, writing to Timothy, the younger preacher, said, till I come, today we would say, until I come, give attention, watch it now, to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And the Greek term translated reading refers to the public, the out loud reading of the word of God. Timothy is being told by Paul, here's what you need to do until I arrive, until I get there. And one of those three was, you give attendance, you give attention to the reading of the very word of God. How can we do any less than that when we have the word of God so readily available to us? I've got a copy in my back pocket right now. I've got a copy over here to my left. That I can draw upon if I need to. I've got it hidden in my heart. I'm quoting the Word of God to you this very evening, my brethren and my friends. But to be able to do that, and we'll come to that in a moment, but to do that, we have to begin by reading it. Revelation 1 and verse 3, to wind down point number 1 tonight, under the title of Taking God at His Word and our question of the hour, what happens when we take God at His Word? We will read it. We will read God's Word. Revelation 1 and verse 3 in your Bible and in mine. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1 and verse 3. O brethren, from cover to cover, throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New, there is one encouragement after another, one admonition after another, one exhortation after another to read this book. Point number 2, my brethren, thank you for staying with me. Thank you, friends, for tuning in tonight. Taking God at His Word is our theme. What happens when we take God at His Word? Point number 2, we'll meditate on it. We'll meditate on God's Word. We're not talking about Eastern religion meditation. We're not talking about some form of meditation that is utilized by the New Age movement, even in our own country here. We don't subscribe to that. Never have, never will. But we're talking about biblical meditation. And that is a pondering of what we've read. It's more than just reading the Word of God. Now we're meditating on it. We're pondering it. We're dwelling on God's Word that we have read. We'll come back to it again and again and again. And we have that encouragement in the Word of God to meditate on the Word of God. In fact, the book of Psalms begins with that very thing. Think with me, better yet, turn with me to Psalm 1, 1 and 2. You know it. Watch it now. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Get verse 2 again. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Again, I ask you, can we do any less than that? This was written by David 3,000 years ago. Included in part of, again, the very Word of God. This is a part of the Old Testament canon, if you will. Later in Psalm 119, verse 97, David wrote these words in the longest chapter of the Bible. Here he said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." I hope that reflects our sentiment and our action, that we would be willing to say, because we're doing just that, "Oh, how I love thy law, dear God, dear Heavenly Father. It is my meditation day and night." When we take God at his word, when we're serious about that, when we mean more about that and more to that than just a claim, maybe even an empty claim, God forbid, but hopefully we'll act upon that. We'll take God at his word. We'll read it and we'll meditate on his word. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, we have this statement again in the inspired word. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, combined with Psalm 119, verse 97, combined with Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, our proof text for point number 2 tonight. When we take God at his word, we'll not only read it, point number 1, but point number 2, we will meditate on it. We'll meditate upon it. Point number 3 tonight at 16 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Thank you again for tuning in. When you and I take God at his word, when we mean what we say, that we do indeed take God at his word, we'll read it, we'll meditate on it, and we will memorize it. Memorizing scripture has almost become a lost art. There are sections of our brotherhood that I believe are emphasizing it, and rightly so, and I certainly hold up their hands, their arms, as they do just that. But I have the privilege, like Brother Tommy, of traveling quite widely every year among our people, the Lord's people, our brethren. And in doing so, I never cease to be amazed at how little overall, in so many places, how little emphasis is being placed upon memorizing the very Word of God. Read it, absolutely. Meditate on it. You better do that. And then go one step further and memorize the Word of God. Don't take my word for it. Let's back that up with the Word of God. We go again to Psalm 119. We'll be there again with a later point. But we're back to Psalm 119. We're at verse 11. And David says here, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." David tells us what he hid, where he hid it, and why he hid it. You can't beat that, can you? Not at all. Can't beat that with a stick. What he hid, where he hid it, and why he hid it. We've got it all given right there. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Brethren, that is a poetic way of saying that he had memorized God's word. It was hidden in his heart. You know, brother, when we're reading God's Word like we ought to, when we're meditating upon God's Word like we ought to, memorizing His Word will be even easier than maybe we had imagined. It certainly will not be the difficult task that some people declare that it is. When we're reading it and meditating upon it, then memorizing it will be a much easier task indeed. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 4, the wise man Solomon made this statement, "Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." Again, from David now to Solomon, and another exhortation to memorize the word of God. Now, we've got also Job 23 and verse 12. In Job 23 and verse 12, here's what you'll find in your Bible and in mine. Job 23:12, a beautiful statement. Again, a poetic statement, or a rhythmic statement. "I have treasured up the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." May I quote that one more time before you? "I have treasured up the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Did you have supper tonight? Did you look forward to that meal with your spouse, maybe with your children, grandchildren, family, friends? Shane and I ate together, just two of us tonight, but we had a wonderful meal. And we treasured that meal, another bit of nourishment for mind and body indeed, but it pales in comparison to the nourishment of the Word of God. "I have treasured up the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." If you look forward to a good meal, ought you not to look forward to a meal from the Word of God? Read it, meditate on it, and memorize it. Now, someone might say, "Well, now, that's all in the Old Testament, Brother Mel." Well, let's go to the New Testament. Just one verse, just one. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. The Hebrew writer is quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Again, for a fourth time, a fourth passage from God's Word, Old Testament or New Testament, it doesn't matter, brethren and friends, because all of these are making the very same point. All of these represent an exhortation at one time or another from someone moved by the Spirit of God to speak what they spoke and to write what they wrote. Again, that encouragement was what? To hide God's Word in their heart, to have it ready on their tongue, to memorize it, as we would say today. Point number four. Again, it's 21 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Our theme for the hour, taking God at his word. What happens when we take God at his word? Point number four, we will speak it. That follows biblically and logically, does it not? Absolutely. When we're reading God's word, meditating upon God's word, we're memorizing God's word. Brethren and friends, it seems to me that one can't help but speak it. It's right there. We're reading it day in and day out. We're meditating upon it day in and day out, day and night, as the psalmist said, as we quoted earlier. And we're memorizing it. We are heeding the exhortation of David and Solomon and from the book of Job and from the Hebrew writer. And we're memorizing that word, and now it is in our heart and on our tongue. And we look forward to every opportunity to speak that word in the appropriate way, in the reverent way that we always would, no doubt about it. Well, think with me, brethren and friends, back, I alluded to this a moment ago, back to Psalm 119, verse 172. Psalm 119, verse 172, there's only 176 verses, I say only, there are 176 verses in Psalm 119, and we're at verse 172. Here's what David penned toward the end of that long chapter. He said, "My tongue shall speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." My tongue shall speak thy word. Like David of old, like David 3,000 years ago, we need to have on our tongue God's word, and we need to speak that word. I'm thinking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Here's what Paul wrote about the middle portion of the verse, if I recall correctly. Paul wrote, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Let that sink in a bit. I believed and therefore have I spoken. Brethren, friends, when we really believe something, we're going to speak it. We're going to share it. One can't shut us up. We're going to tell it. We're going to shout it from the rooftops. Do we feel that way? Do we believe that relative to the Word of God? And if not, why not? We're reading the Word of God. We're meditating on the Word of God. We're memorizing the Word of God. And now we're looking forward to every opportunity to speak it, not just from the pulpit, my preacher friends, but also in the classroom, and not just that, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, wherever we have the opportunity in this free land to do just that. And Scripture abounds in one passage after another, encouraging us, again, to speak the Word of God. Back to the Old Testament, back to a great book, the great prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Here's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Here's what he said about God. His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back. That's more of a quotation from the New King James Version, but you follow along in your Bible, and there's more in that verse and in the verses prior to and following verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 20 that you would be wise to look at your earliest opportunity. His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back. And of course, we would say, don't hold it back. Don't hold that word back. Preach that word. Always preach the word. Speak it. That is our obligation. Finally, with point number four, and we have one more to go, 25 minutes after the hour. Plenty of time. Stay with me now. In Ephesians 4:15, final passage, final proof text for our fourth of 5 points tonight, the Apostle Paul beautifully penned these words, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Our obligation is to speak the truth. You know that. I do. We do. And our motivation is to do it in love. That is where we sometimes fail. We speak the truth, but maybe we're not always doing it in love. We can do better with that. We want to do better with that when we fail in regard to that. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Point number five, and finally tonight, and thank you for your patience and your kindness in tuning in tonight, and to Brother Tommy, Brother Stroud, Brother Flunder, Brother Wiggins, the brethren at Highland Heights in Houston for hosting this, and all the good work that is related to this from week to week. Our final point is simply this. If we really and truly and honestly take God at his word, what will happen, what will follow from that? Oh, my friend, we'll obey it. We will obey it. How could we not? Now, the words obey and obedience have almost become dirty words in our current culture. I hate to acknowledge that, but I believe that to be the case. I hate that it is that way, but I believe that to be the case. They've almost become dirty words. Obeying that word, that concept, well, it's denigrated in our current culture. It's downgraded, it's downplayed, and at times it's even flatly denied. But I'm here to tell you, and I stand before you tonight via this conference call. Again, I'm in my study in our home here in Birmingham, Alabama. Wherever you are, you're hearing this voice. You're hearing my voice, and you're hearing the word of God. You're hearing the voice of God. From his word tonight, and we believe in taking God at his word. Let me tell you what you already know. Obedience is a theme that runs from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 22 and verse 18 says in your Bible, and in mine, we're running out of time here. Stay with me. Genesis 22 and verse 18, God says to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, where Samuel, the prophet, says to the king, King Saul, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Moving into the New Testament, we got the words of our Lord recorded by Matthew in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, watch it now, the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is obedience. Acts 5 and verse 29, where Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Indeed, Acts 5:29. Sadly, too many, even some of our brethren, obey men rather than God today. That just does not need to be the case. It should not be the case. It ought not to be the case. We ought to obey God rather than men. And ought is a statement of moral responsibility. It was then and it is today. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the Hebrew writer said of our Lord, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And finally, from cover to cover, I mention, obedience is a theme that runs from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. Won't you consider in closing Revelation 22 and verse 14? Here, the Apostle John wrote in the long ago, blessed are they that do his commandments. Did you get that? Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. As I close out tonight, my brethren and my friends, members of the church that belongs to Christ and those who are not, I ask those who are not, I ask it with kindness in my heart, are you ready to obey God and his word? Are you interested in fully obeying God and his word? Won't you respond maybe even this evening or in a day or two to come in loving obedience to the grace offering of salvation referred to and mentioned and declared in the New Testament? And I hope that you are. I hope that you are. I hope that you'll seek out a congregation of the Church of Christ in your community, in your town, in your city, that you'll make contact with their preacher, that maybe you'll declare your desire to Brother Tommy or Brother Scribe, Brother Flunder, Brother Wiggins, even tonight, do so, and let them share with you the gospel plan of salvation. Because our final invitation for you tonight is that you obey God in the matter of salvation. That you obey our Lord in the matter of salvation. He said, and we close with these words, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16 and verse 16. We love you and we appreciate you. We hope that you'll take God at his word. So wonderful to be with you. I turn things over now to our host, Brother Tommy.